Welcome to the Arise Podcast. I'm Tanya Anderson, CEO at Arise, and it's my pleasure to have with me today Demetria Nguyen, who is our lead housing specialist in our Rapid Transition Housing Program. Welcome, Demetria.
Thank you.
So this program is really critical to the work that we do at Arise because in our community generally, there's a shortage of accessible and affordable housing. And you are connecting a really special group of people with housing, just need a lot of extra, I think support might be the best word.
Right.
Can you describe a little bit about what Rapid Transition Housing is about?
So Rapid Transition Housing provides rental subsidies for high need Medicaid beneficiaries, meaning that they have to be high utilizers of Medicaid, going in and out of the emergency room, going to be hospitalized. So we provide housing subsidies for those going back into the community.
Right. So Medicaid is really the health insurance program for people who don't have any other resources.
Right.
And from what you just said, I gather that the people that we're working with in this program really have a lot of health issues or other issues that
yes.
makes them go to the emergency room, just high utilized,
yes.
hospitalized. So how does someone connect with Arise for this program?
So they have to get a referral from the physician's office. They have to be housing vulnerable, which is basically homeless, and they have to have a chronic disability, a physical chronic disability, and two chronic diseases to be considered for the program.
Okay, and could you give us some examples of what might qualify as a chronic health condition or a physical disability?
Yes, they can have like traumatic brain injuries, they could have mental illnesses, they can have diabetes, they can have something that's going to continuously put them back and forth in emergency or hospital.
Awesome. Okay, great. So this is coming together. So these are people who are in Medicaid, in and out of the emergency room.
Correct.
They get a referral from a doctor, from any
physician,
doctor that's treating
doctor,
them.
Yep, MCO, yep.
Yep, and that person basically certifies that, yes, this individual meets a criteria of having, you know, chronic health conditions and disability, and then also is housing vulnerable, which most of us just consider the word homeless to
Correct.
Cover that.
Correct.
Okay. So once you get a referral, then what happens?
Then we do the intake, collect all the paperwork to determine eligibility. If that is so, if they are homeless, then we help them find housing. If they are already in a home and need assistance with rent going forward because maybe they are on Social Security or unemployment or public assistance, don't have the income, then we try to assist with that.
Okay, so there's a lot there as well, and in terms of let's take the piece of helping someone find housing.
Yes.
What does that look like?
So we would typically go through different various websites like rent.com, just knowing some landlords, if you see a place that's for rent, just trying to do your research and finding what's suitable for them. One, two bedrooms, the income limits,
right?
Something like that.
So it's really not a magic bullet. You're doing a lot of the legwork and the
yes.
homework in terms of helping this person scour the market for available housing.
Right.
And I would imagine that because you do this every day as your job, you're able to build up some relationships with local landlords.
Correct.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And then, so you get to a place where you're able to locate housing for somebody, mm-hmm. and then there's the support that happens when they are in the unit mm-hmm. in terms of money and also other support. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yes. So we help or assist providing security deposit, rent. We do it based on income, which is 30% of their income. We can help with CTS dollars, which the money comes from. Could be furniture, could be any household item, security deposit. We take the funds from that.
Okay, so we've got some special grant funding that allows us to do, as you said, the security department, the deposit, the first month's rent, and then what I think is really important is the dollars that are available to actually set up a household, because, you know, this makes a lot of sense. You've got someone who's got pretty significant health challenges. Mm-hmm. They're not stable with their housing. It's not like they have a sofa or
right.
a kitchen table or
yes.
even just the basics of a household.
Right.
And just putting them in an empty apartment is not going to solve any issues.
Correct.
And I can imagine when you're going through this program with an intake, it for some of these folks, this might be, well, it's a lifeline and a safety mm-hmm. net, but it might be one of the first times they've had someone offer this level of support to
right.
them.
Right.
What does that conversation look like?
Usually they're very excited. They're just excited to call a place home. So they're very thankful and they're just committed to getting whatever needs to be done, the work done, and just to have a place call home. So they're willing to do, you know, what they have to do and get it done on time.
That makes so much sense in its simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because those of us who are not housing vulnerable, I mean, we take for granted that
right.
we have a home that we can go home
mm-hmm.
to.
Correct.
And these folks don't have that.
And they don't have that. So they're very grateful that there is a program like this to assist them with being able to call a place home.
Right. And are there ever times when the folks that you're talking to in an intake maybe are a little skeptical or there's a little disbelief because it sounds too good to be true?
No, I haven't come across them yet. I mean,
okay.
they're just thankful that it is, and they don't have to deal with other agencies or public assistance that, you know, basically giving them a hard time. They're just thankful that there is this rapid transition housing that they feel like there's somebody looking out for them.
Right. So you're really navigating a pretty complicated system for them and not cutting corners, but making a pathway that would be difficult otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
For them on their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then once someone is in housing and we've got them set up with a household, this program provides some support in terms of their ongoing rent?
Yes. Yeah. So we... like I said, it's 30% of their income. So, and we, as a subsidy, we pay the remainder of that for them.
Okay. Is there any other sort of support that we would provide and some of the softer skill support to make sure that they, you know, stay successful in their house and that they're connected with any other kinds of supports that they might need?
Yes. Yeah, so once they are housed or meets eligibility, they have a ILS, which is Independent Living Specialist.
Okay.
And that person will continue to assist them with anything further or outside reach of housing, like medical, transportation, even just conversations to talk to them about things that's going on in their life that they need assistance with that will help them be successful in staying in their apartment or home.
That makes a lot of sense, and I can imagine that there are programs out there that get someone, you know, set up in the house, there you go, see you later, good luck.
Right.
But that's the part where people really need that warm handoff, that extra support that you just described.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can imagine that real relationships happen, you know, between you and the independent living specialists and the people that we're connecting
yes.
with.
Yes.
Can you describe what, you know, what those relationships, without giving any, you know, details in terms of privacy, but what do those relationships look like?
Well, we try to communicate with each other and let them know that we'll be here for you. You can call us anytime you need. You can call us just to conversate. You can call us and, you know, talk about your parent, talk about work, talk about school. You can call us and we'll be there to assist you along the way. So we don't turn anybody away. And we try to be there to support them, talk them through whatever is going on that need service or assistance with.
That makes some... That sounds so valuable. It sounds very simple,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we can underestimate the value of just having a kind voice that
yes.
they can connect with
mm-hmm.
and someone who will listen.
Right.
And someone who won't judge.
Right. Because so, that's not what we're there for.
That's right. That's not what we're there for. You're right. And that's, I mean, that embodies a rise. We're there as a support, and we're not there to judge, and we're right. there to support people being successful in the community.
Yes.
So this sounds to me like, you know, pretty complicated work that could potentially be pretty emotionally draining. What draws you to this work?
So I've been doing this for over 10 years, and I just basically like to see the smile of on people's faces, the feeling of accomplishment, like I helped someone do something, and the gratitude of it all.
Right. And I think you've mentioned the word gratitude in different ways quite a bit in this conversation, mm-hmm. because, you know, these are people that a lot of us as a society don't necessarily put a lot of value on. They might be, you know, overlooked, put to the margins, and you are really putting them center stage, mm-hmm. giving them full value and full agency.
Yeah, we don't like for them to feel like they don't have anyone.
Right. And again, that's simple, but so important.
Yes.
So, I guess I've already asked this, but I know that you said that this work is satisfying to you and you mm-hmm. like to see people be successful.
Right.
How do you take care of yourself when you're doing work that is pretty emotionally draining?
I turn my phone off at 5:00. I turn my phone off at 5:00. I try not to take it home with me, but when I'm here, I am totally focused on the consumers and their needs.
Right. So you have some healthy boundaries yourself.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
And then it will become emotional draining.
Right. Well, I think that's a good lesson that would translate to many different aspects of the work that we do mm-hmm. in general in terms of helping others. You
right.
need to help yourself as well. Is there anything else about the Rapid Transition Housing Program that we haven't touched on that you wanted to mention? Maybe the website. I think ariseinc.org is a good place for us to mention that if people mm-hmm. who, if they want more information, they can...
They can do that. They can always call in. We have an open door policy. They could come into the office and speak to someone about getting assistance.
Great. And I think it's important for, obviously, individuals who are experiencing homelessness or housing vulnerable to know about this, but also for the possibly referring physicians to
yes.
know that this is a resource.
Correct.
And this is grant funding ultimately coming from New York State. So
yes.
it's money that is very well spent, I would say.
Yes.
Well, thanks for all you do every day, Demetrius.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
For more information on how you can support Arise, visit our website at ariseinc.org. Support Arise, support independence.